Joan, welcome back. Lovely to see you again. And it's been a busy week again here in the Vatican, hasn't it?
And I think we could actually begin the show every week with a recording saying, welcome back. It's been another busy week, hasn't it? Really, because we do always have big events, it seems, involving the Pope or some dicastery, some office of the Holy See. And I think several big events of the week would be, one, the message for the 44th World Day of Communications, which will be in May 24th, obviously, of 2010, and the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity, which was Monday. And then something I think it behooves us to dedicate a little time to, the Wednesday audience, on two fascinating topics, if you will. One was St. Francis of Assisi, whom I happen to love, and I bear his middle name, Francis. And then, obviously, the Pope talked about the Day of Remembrance of the Holocaust victims.
That was particularly significant, wasn't it, coming in the wake of his visit to the synagogue, and it again harked back to his own visit to the Auschwitz camp just a year or two ago.
Exactly. As we know, on the 17th, he visited Rome's synagogue, the third time in his almost five-year pontificate that Benedict has visited a synagogue. And he also went, of course, last year in 2009 in May to the Holy Land. He visited the Yad Vashem Memorial there, the memorial to the millions, exactly, to the millions of Jews killed in the Holocaust. And what actually was amazing about this week was that the Wednesday audience happened to mark the 65th, if you will, anniversary of the liberation of the few remaining prisoners from Auschwitz. And this day, January 27th every year, that was declared by the UN to be a day of remembrance of the Holocaust. And the Pope remembered actually those survivors, but obviously more than anything, those who perished in the camp at Auschwitz-Birkenau. And also in any other concentration camp, Jews and also non-Jews, but majority Jews, were brought from throughout Europe to these concentration camps. The reason the Pope's remarks at the general audience really stuck in my mind were because I was in Auschwitz when Pope Benedict went there in May of 2006. Aside from World Youth Day the previous summer, this was his first like foreign trip as Pope, and he went to honor, obviously, the memory of his predecessor. It brought the war to me as a living thing, something I'd always read about in history books. I'd never been to any of this battle sites. But I must say that Wednesday at the audience, the Pope's words, the adjectives he used to describe the inhumanity, the cruelty, I don't even remember all the words as we speak now, but they were very, very, very strong.
As you say, beyond his words regarding the Holocaust, he also spoke of continuing his teachings on some of the best-known figures from the early church. He focused on St. Francis this time, didn't he?
Well, and I've always loved St. Francis, and I'm guessing it's just because my middle name is Francis, and so I tried to learn about the saints when I was little, and he was particularly attractive. But I think what the Pope really highlighted how great a man St. Francis was, certainly one of the greatest people, actually, of the church. And what I loved is when he called at the very end, actually, but it still was like summarizing his entire speech, the Pope described Francis as a great saint and a joyful man. And he said there exists, in fact, an intimate and indissoluble bond between sanctity and joy. A French author once wrote, said the Pope, that only one sadness exists in the world, that of not being saints. And, you know, I have to tell you, when I think of the people that I know that are very holy, very spiritual people, they're also very, very joyful people. And you really can't unlink those two. But I thought it was wonderful the way the Pope talked about St. Francis's vision when God told him to heal his church. And, of course, St. Francis at that precise moment didn't exactly know what he meant. He knew in a way, but at that time, Francis founds the Franciscans, as we know today. He goes to Pope Innocent III to get approval for his movement, which was dedicated to the renewal of the church. And I thought this was interesting. Benedict said, Innocent III was a powerful pontiff who possessed profound theological culture as well as great political power. but it was not he who renewed the church. It was this small and poor friar. It was Francis, called by God. And, of course, the Pope reminds us that, I mean, today, 800 and some years later, we have the Franciscan Order. People are still moved and enthralled, I think was the word he also used, by this humble little saint from a small town in Italy called Assisi.
Certainly very much a figure, particularly here in Italy. He's the patron saint, isn't he, of this country, I think, as well as of the ecology and the environment. And
quite a few things that we call on St. Francis to protect us from or aid us in. And
you mentioned also this week we saw the release of the Communications Day message, released at the weekend, but the Communications Day to be celebrated in May later this year, focused again on the internet, on the new technologies.
The last couple of years, I'm not sure of exactly how many, but certainly two or three, the messages have been, and the Pope always chooses the theme, but the messages have been dedicated, yes, to the new media. And the title of the 2010 message is The Priest and Pastoral Ministry in a Digital World, New Media at the Service of the Word. And it was interesting. If you looked at some of the titles of the articles that came out after the message was released, you saw things like Pope asks priest to blog. Pope says, you know, get out there on the YouTube, that kind of stuff. And in essence, really what he was saying was use this new digital media, learn it, because you know what? Your faithful are very tech savvy people. That's certainly the younger generation. And for a priest today to be connected to he has to be connected, physically be there, be present, and so forth. But you have to be connected also in a way that people are going to understand the media they use today. And if that's podcasts and iPods and a blog, and so we saw Cardinal Sean of Boston. He started a blog several years ago, and it's a much read and much quoted blog, and it brings people insights about him as a man, as a priest, and when he comes to Rome, when he travels, what he sees. And so that media has to be used today. You really can't escape it. And I know a number of older, almost retired priests who are very excited about this media and wish it had been around in the first years of their priesthood. Now, one of the main things of the message, though, which we cannot fail to stress, is the fact that the Pope stresses, first of all, above everything else, you addressing this to priests, because it's the year for priests, you are a man of God. You are here to preach the gospel. You are here to be, you know, in the place of Christ. And that's what a priest is. He must remember that, technology or not. That's what he is, above all, a priest.
Although it's fair to say it does present a greater challenge, doesn't it, alongside all the other formation in the seminary. We now have to add on the use of technologically advanced media.
And you really wonder if some of these things, too, do they add to your already burdensome life as a priest, because you have to be everything to everyone as a priest. That's what they expect you to be today.
One other story we haven't looked at, and that is there was a new Vatican stamp to be issued with proceeds going towards
Haiti.
I think that's worth mentioning.
A wonderful idea. It's a 65-cent, euro cent, that is, face value stamp that's going to be sold for 85 cents, and that 20 cents on each stamp is going towards Haiti. They've printed 900,000 of the stamps. And so if you do the math, it's something like €150,000, $200,000 that they're expecting to get from this. And
added to the amount of money that the Pope, of course, has already asked to
earmarked,
put towards the emergency or the disaster relief there in Haiti.
Exactly. No, it's a wonderful thing. It's a small thing. We can all participate in that way. I'm always at the post office. I mean, if I'm not there one day in a week or something, it's kind of like what happened to you. Because I actually do mail real letters. I mail real thank you cards. I mail real packages.
Even in our digital world.
Yes, exactly.
Just one other thing. You mentioned the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity. The Pope on Monday had the regular service that he holds Vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls with representatives of all the other Christian churches here in Rome.
No, it's quite a lovely ceremony. It's traditional that the week of prayer is always January 18th to 25th. On the 25th, which is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, the Pope does always go to St. Paul's Basilica. And his homily the other night was actually very interesting. He was addressing all the Christians present and saying, the focus was, you are witnesses to these things, he said, after quoting a gospel passage. And actually, the Pope talked about the importance of having this unity as Christians because we give a more credible witness. It's not you giving one witness, me giving another, and John Doe over here giving a third. We are all stronger because we're giving one witness. And he particularly said that in a world marked by religious indifference and even by a growing aversion towards the Christian faith, what is needed is new and intense evangelizing activity directed not only at peoples who've never known the gospel, but also at those among whom Christianity is present and has become part of their history.
Thank you very much, Jen. We'll look forward to seeing you again at the same time next week.
You got it.